Welcome to Zikhu Daf Sin Mani Mamre by Ram Goldar, and today Mezekhus Bamitzia, Daf Kuftal, the ninth Parakama Kabo. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the Mishnah taught that if a tenant said, lease me Beis HaShlochin Zeh, this irrigated field, he may deduct from the rent if the stream dried up. The Gemara said the landowner should be able to say, Shema Ba'amar Milach, I only said it to you as a name, meaning that he called it an irrigated field simply because it was commonly referred to that way, but not as a stipulated term for the rental. A brisa teaches that if someone offers to sell a base core of earth, implying an area for planting a core of barley seed, or 75,000 amos, the sale is valid even if the property is only half that size. Shulmacher elishma, because he only sold him a name, meaning a property by that title, provided it's popularly called a base core. Similarly, if one offers to sell a vineyard, the sale is valid even if it contains no grapevines, provided it's popularly called a vineyard. Shmuel answered that the Mishnah's case is where the tenant spoke to the owner, so the request for an irrigated field is to be taken literally. Ravina said that even if the owner spoke, since he says this field, they are apparently standing in it. Since the mention of irrigated field would be superfluous, it's understood to mean Beis HaShlochin Kedekai Mahashta, an irrigated field as it now stands with its water source. Point number two, the next Mishnah states that if one leased a field of hovira and left it fallow, failing to plow or plant it, the field's production capabilities are assessed and the tenant pays the predetermined percentage of that amount to the owner because their initial contract states, Im over v'lavid ashalom b'metva, if I leave it fallow and do not work it, I will pay according to the best. Later, the Gemara records an incident in which a tenant said, if I leave your field fallow, I'll pay you 1,000 zuz, and he left 1/3 of it fallow. The Nardin said he must pay 1/3 of this amount, but Rava said, this is an asmakta, a commitment made without expecting to keep it, which is not binding. The Gemara objects that our Mishnah proves that such a commitment is binding and answers, Hasmul Kagazim. There in the Mishnah, he doesn't exaggerate the payment amount. In this case, because he committed to an extraordinary penalty, Guzma Ba'amahu de Kagazim, he's merely exaggerating. And point number three, the Nardin said, I, Iska, the merchandise of an Iska business arrangement, where one partner provides the capital and the other manages the investment, Palga Milva Palga Pikadun, is considered half a loan and half a deposit, so any losses are divided evenly, which the rabbis instituted as agreeable to both parties. They concluded that since half is a loan, if the manager wishes to drink beer by selling his half of the merchandise instead of investing it, he may. Rava disagrees. Lahagi karule iska. This is the reason they call it an iska, literally an involvement. So the investor can tell the manager, when I gave it to you, it was to be involved with it for the investment and not to drink beer with its proceeds. By requiring the manager to be involved in generating a profit for himself, he'll work harder towards its success. Ravidi Baravin said that if the manager dies, the loan half of the merchandise is considered like metaltlin in its son's possession, and the investor cannot collect it like the law of an ordinary loan. Rava disagreed and said it's called an iska to signify that the investor relies on its remaining available for collection. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, the Mishnah taught that if the tenant said, lease me Beis HaShlochin Zeh, this irrigated field, he may deduct from the rent if the stream dried up. The Gemara said the landowner should be able to say, Shema Ba'amar Milach, I only said it to you as a name, meaning that he called it an irrigated field simply because it was commonly referred to that way, but not as a stipulated term for the rental. A brisa teaches that if someone offers to sell a base core of earth, implying an area for planting a core of barley seed, or 75,000 amos, the sale is valid even if the property is only half that size. Shulmacher elishma, because he only sold him a name, meaning a property by that title, provided it's popularly called a base core. Similarly, if one offers to sell a vineyard, the sale is valid even if it contains no grapevines, provided it's popularly called a vineyard. Shmuel answered that the Mishnah's case is where the tenant spoke to the owner, so the request for an irrigated field is to be taken literally. Ravina said that even if the owner spoke, since he says this field, they are apparently standing in it. Since the mention of irrigated field would be superfluous, it's understood to mean Beis HaShlochin Kedekai Mahashta, an irrigated field as it now stands with its water source. Point number two, the next Mishnah states that if one leased a field of hovira and left it fallow, failing to plow or plant it, the field's production capabilities are assessed and the tenant pays the predetermined percentage of that amount to the owner because their initial contract states, Im over v'lavid ashalom b'metva, if I leave it fallow and do not work it, I will pay according to the best. Later, the Gemara records an incident in which a tenant said, if I leave your field fallow, I'll pay you 1,000 zuz, and he left 1/3 of it fallow. The Nardin said he must pay 1/3 of this amount, but Rava said, this is an asmakta, a commitment made without expecting to keep it, which is not binding. The Gemara objects that our Mishnah proves that such a commitment is binding and answers. Hasmul Kagazim. There in the Mishnah, he doesn't exaggerate the payment amount. In this case, because he committed to an extraordinary penalty, Guzma Ba'amahu de Kagazim, he's merely exaggerating. And point number three, the Nardin said, I, Iska, the merchandise of an Iska business arrangement, where one partner provides the capital and the other manages the investment, Palga Milva Palga Pikadun, is considered half a loan and half a deposit, so any losses are divided evenly, which the rabbis instituted as agreeable to both parties. They concluded that since half is a loan, if the manager wishes to drink beer by selling his half of the merchandise instead of investing it, he may. Rava disagrees. Lahagi karule iska. This is the reason they call it an iska, literally an involvement. So the investor can tell the manager, when I gave it to you, it was to be involved with it for the investment and not to drink beer with its proceeds. By requiring the manager to be involved in generating a profit for himself, he'll work harder towards its success. Ravidi Baravin said that if the manager dies, the loan half of the merchandise is considered like metaltlin in its son's possession, and the investor cannot collect it like the law of an ordinary loan. Rava disagreed and said it's called an iska to signify that the investor relies on its remaining available for collection. All right, so now we go to Siman Daf Kuf Dalet, and our standard siman is a code. A code. So here goes. The renter who used the code to open the gate on the field called the irrigated field, even though it wasn't irrigated at all, and promised the owner that if he leaves the field fallow, he'll pay him an exaggerated amount of 1,000 zuz, was renting the field with iska money he received from an investor, which was half loan, half deposit. Once again, slow motion. The renter who used the code, that must be more duff, kuf dalet. The renter who used the code to open the gate on the field called the irrigated field, even though it wasn't irrigated at all, which reminds us. The Mishnah taught that if a tenant said, lease me Beis HaShlachin Zeh, this irrigated field, he may deduct from the rent if the stream dried up. The Gemara asked that the landowner should be able to say, Shema Ba'ama Amrilach, I only said it to you as a name, meaning that he called it an irrigated field simply because it was commonly referred to that way, but not as a stipulated term for the rental. Shmuel answered the Mishnah's cases where the tenant spoke to the owner, so the request for an irrigated field is to be taken literally. Ravina gave a different answer. So the renter who used the code to open the gate on the field called the irrigated field, even though it wasn't irrigated at all, and promised the owner that if he leaves the field fallow, he'll pay him an exaggerated amount of 1,000 zuz, which reminds us, the Gemara records an incident in which a tenant said, if I leave your field fallow, I'll pay you 1,000 zuz, and he left one-third of it fallow. The Nardin said he must pay a third of this amount, but Rava said, this is an asmakta, a commitment made without expecting to keep it, which is not binding. In this case, because he committed to an extraordinary penalty, guzma ba'amahu de kagazim, he's merely exaggerating. So the renter used the code to open the gate on the field called the irrigated field, even though it wasn't irrigated at all, and promised the owner that if he leaves the field fallow, he'll pay him an exaggerated amount of 1,000 zuz, was renting the field with iska money he received from an investor, which was half loan, half deposit, which reminds us, the Nardin said, hi iska, the merchandise of an iska business arrangement, where one partner provides the capital and the other manages the investment, is considered half a loan and half a deposit, so any losses are divided evenly, which the rabbis instituted as agreeable to both parties. They concluded that since half is a loan, if the manager wishes to drink beer by selling his half of the merchandise instead of investing it, he may. Rava disagrees. This is the reason they call it an iska, literally an involvement, so the investor can tell the manager, when I gave it to you, it was to be involved with it for the investment and not to drink beer with its proceeds. So once again, the renter used the code to open the gate on the field called the irrigated field, even though it wasn't irrigated at all, and promised the owner that if he leaves the field fallow, he'll pay him an exaggerated amount of 1,000 zuz, was renting the field with iska money he received from an investor, which was half loan, half deposit. All right, so now it's time to go to our four blabak hazara. Daf kuf, so the siman daf kuf is a kuf, a monkey. So here goes. When the man exchanged a cow for a monkey, that must run daf kuf, kuf, monkey. When the man exchanged a cow for a monkey and the cow gave birth, and the seller and buyer disputed when it gave birth, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, if one exchanges a cow for a donkey and the cow gave birth, or if one sells a shivcha and she gave birth, and the seller says the birth occurred before I sold her, and the offspring is mine, and the buyer says the birth occurred after I purchased her, and the offspring is mine, yalchaloku, they divide the value of the calf or slave child. The Gemara concludes the Tana Sumkas who holds, mamana muta basafik chokim below shavua, money whose ownership is in doubt is divided without a shavua. So, when the man exchanged a cow for a monkey and the cow gave birth, and the seller and buyer disputed when it gave birth, the monkey escaped and jumped on the backs of a small slave and large slave, which two men were arguing over who was sold, which reminds us, the Mishnah say that if the seller had two slaves or two fields of different sizes, and the buyer claims to have purchased the larger one, and the seller claims he sold the smaller one, the seller swears that he sold the smaller one. The Gemara raises three objections to the seller taking an oath and provides three answers. So when the man exchanged a cow for a monkey and the cow gave birth, and the seller and buyer disputed when it gave birth, the monkey escaped and jumped on the backs of a small slave and large slave, which two men were arguing over who was sold, and then swung on the branches of an olive tree which was sold for its wood, which yielded more than a ravias of oil, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states that if one sold his olive trees for their wood, and the buyer did not remove them immediately, and they produced olives of such poor quality that a saw of them yielded less than a ravias of oil, they belong to the owner of the trees. If they produced olives which yielded more than a ravias, and the buyer says, my olive trees produce the olives, and they're mine, and the seller says, my land produced the olives by providing nutrients, yelchaloku, they divide the crop since they were both instrumental in producing the crop. Daf kuf olive. So the simon daf kuf olive is a bird caller going caw, caw. So here goes. The bird caller, that must be more than daf kuf olive. Caw, caw. The bird caller who snuck into a field where a tree owner and landowner were dividing the olives from a tree that had been swept away by a river and planted there, which reminds us, the Mishnah taught that if olive trees were swept by a river into someone else's field and produced olives there, the olives are divided between the tree's owner and the field's owner. Ravin quoted Reish Lakish saying that they're only divided if the trees were uprooted with their clods of soil, thus maintaining their status of having passed the oral prohibition period, and only during the first 3 years. After the first 3 years, however, all the olives belong to the landowner because he can tell the owner of the trees, if I had planted my own trees 3 years earlier, would I not be eating all the produce after 3 years when the oral prohibition passes? So the bird caller snuck into a field where a tree owner and landowner were dividing the olives from a tree that had been swept away by a river and planted there, and planted a tree without permission to attract the rare kuf olive bird, expecting to be paid. Which reminds us, the Gemara says, Yordo toch sada chavero, v'nat deshomur reshus. If one went down into his fellow's field and planted trees without the owner's permission, Rav says, they assess his expenses and the improvements value, and he has the lower hand, meaning he's paid the lower of the two amounts. Shmuel says, they assess how much a person would want to pay for someone to plant trees in this field, and he pays that amount. Rapapa clarifies that there's no argument. Shmuel is discussing a field which is suitable for planting trees more than grain, and Rav is discussing a field which is not suitable for planting trees more than grain. So the bird caller snuck into a field where a tree owner and landowner were dividing the olives from a tree that had been swept away by a river and planted there, and planted a tree without permission to attract the rare kuf olive bird, expecting to be paid, was startled when his landlord used a bird whistle to notify him 30 days before Sukkot that he was being evicted from his home where he sold bird whistles when his rental term ends in the winter, which reminds us, the next Mishnah teaches the laws governing evicting a tenant at the end of his lease. As the Gemara explains, the Mishnah's rulings are lehodia, to notify a tenant that he'll be evicted. Thus, the Mishnah states that one cannot evict a tenant whose term ends in the winter when it's difficult to find other housing unless he notifies him 30 days before the winter season, meaning before Sukkot. In large cities where it's especially difficult to find housing, he must notify him a full 12 months before his term ends that he'll be evicted. Daf Kuf Beis. So the Siman Daf Kuf Beis is a cave. So here goes. The landlord, who was thrilled to acquire the zevil that was in his courtyard of the cave. Cave? That must be on Daf Kuf Beis. The landlord, who was thrilled to acquire the zevil that was in his courtyard of the cave he rented out. Since Chatzero Shal Adam Konulo Shal Madaito, which reminds us, the Mishnah on the previous Daf taught that if one rents his house to another, the zevil, the manure found in the courtyard, belongs to the landlord. The Gemara explains that the case is with the landlord's courtyard, which he did not rent out, as Rashi explains, and cows which came from elsewhere were standing in it. Since the cow's owners, presumably, were mafkir the zevil, the landlord acquires it with his chatzer. The Gemara notes that this supports the ruling of Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina, chatzer shal adam konuglo shal madaito, a person's chatzer acquires for him without his knowledge. So the landlord, who was thrilled to acquire the zevil that was in his courtyard of the cave he rented out, since chatzer shal adam konuglo shal madaito, and happily knows the eggs in the shovach, so he could do the mitzvah of shiloh chakein, which reminds us, Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina's ruling is challenged from a brice which teaches that doves of a dovecote are subject to the mitzvah of shiloh chakein and are prohibited midrabbanan to be taken by others because of darchei shalom. According to Rabbi Yossi, the eggs should be acquired by the chatzer and be patur for shiloh chakein because the pasuk says ki yikra, if a bird's nest happens, prat l'mezumen, which excludes a nest which is at hand. Rabbi answers, an egg becomes obligated in shiluch when its majority leaves the mother's body, but it's not acquired by one's chatzer until it falls into its courtyard. It's during this interim that the Braisa says the eggs are subject to shiluch hakein. So The landlord, who was thrilled to acquire the zevil that was in his courtyard of the cave he rented out, since Chatzero Shal Adam Konolo, Shalom Adaito, and happily knows the eggs in the shovach so he could do the mitzvah of Shulcha Kain, had come to collect half the 13 months' rent, since he had rented it at the rate of 12 dinarim per year, 1 dinar per month, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states that if one rented at a house for a year and a leap year was declared, adding a 13th month, the tenant does not pay extra. If it was rented per month, he must pay for the additional month. The Mishnah concludes with a story which the Gemara explains to reflect a new case of a rate of 12 gold dinarim for a year, 1 gold dinar per month, where Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and Rabbi Yossi ruled to divide the extra month's payment. Three opinions are recorded about this ruling. Kuf Gimel, so the Simmer Daf Kuf Gimel is Yerushalmi Kugel. So here goes. The Yerushalmi Kugel cook, Yerushalmi Kugel, that must mean one Daf. Kuf Gimel. The Yerushalmi Kugel cook who rented a house in the shape of a Yerushalmi Kugel for 10 years with an undated shtar and was now in a dispute with the landlord regarding how long he lived there, which reminds us what Nachman said, that if one rents out his house for 10 years and wrote an undated shtar for the tenant, certifying the term of the lease, and later claims that the tenant already lived there for 5 years, while the tenant claims he only lived there for 3, the landlord is believed, since his property is always in his possession, the tenant must prove his right to 7 more years, despite his holding a shtar for verifying his 10-year lease. So the Yerushalmi Kugel cook, who rented a house in the shape of a Yerushalmi Kugel for 10 years with an undated shtar and was now in a dispute with the landlord regarding how long he lived there, was plowing a field he leased after harvesting the grain, according to the Minhag Medina, which reminds us the 9th parak begins, a makabel sada mechevera, one who leases a field from his fellow, either as an aris, where he each takes a percentage of the crop, or as a hocher, where the farmer pays a fixed amount of produce. In a place where farmers customarily cut the crops, he cuts them. If they customarily uproot them, he uproots them. If they customarily plow the field after harvesting, he plows it. Hakok Minhag Medina. Everything follows the local custom. So the Yerushalmi cook who rented a house in the shape of a Yerushalmi Kugel for 10 years with an undated shtar and was now in a dispute with the landlord regarding how long he lived there, was plowing a field he leased after harvesting the grain according to the Minhag Medina, when he noticed that the stream which irrigated the field and provided water for him to cook the noodles had dried up, which reminds us. The next Mishnah states that if one leased a field which was irrigated by a stream or included a fruit tree providing additional produce without effort, if the stream dried up or the tree was cut down, he does not deduct from his rent because of the loss. However, if the tenant originally said, lease me this irrigated field, or this field containing a tree, indicating that the rate he was paying was because of these benefits, then he does deduct from his rental if the stream dries up or the tree is cut down. All right, so now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, which stuff to discuss what the din is in a case of a property lease where the parties dispute how much time of the shtar passed? That's on Dov. Kuf Gimel. Good number two. Which stuff do we learn the rules of evicting a tenant at the end of his lease and the need to give 30 days notice before the winter for someone whose term ends in the winter? That's on Dov. Kuf Av. Good number three. Which stuff do you discuss if a tenant said, if I leave your field fallow, I'll pay you 1,000 zuz, and he left 1/3 of it fallow, does he have to pay? That's on Dov. Kuf Dala. Good number four. Which daf do you mechokes if a borrower acquires an item such as a hatchet with usage or meshicha? That's on daf. Tzadi Tes. Good number five. Which daf do you learn in a home rental of 12 dinarim per year, 1 dinar per month, the 13th month's rent is divided? That's on daf. Kuf Beis. Good number six. Which daf do you learn if a tenant said, lease me beis hashlochin zeh, this irrigated field, he may deduct from the rent if the stream dried up? That's on daf. Kuf Daled. Good number seven. Which daf do you discuss swearing in a dispute over which of two slaves or fields was sold? That's on daf. Kuf. Good number eight. Which daf do you learn if one leases a field from his friend, either as an aris or as a hocher, everything goes according to the Minhag Medina? That's on daf. Kuf Gimel. Good number nine. Which daf do you discuss the details of an iska arrangement? That's on daf. Kuf Daled. Good. And number 10. Which daf do you have a question if someone planted a tree in someone else's field without rishus, whether he can be paid in full? That's on daf. Kuf Aleph. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avram Goldar from Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.